Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Oh, it's good to be in church. Amen? It's good to be with all of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're together. And what a weekend the world has had, right? And we ended our guardrail series last week and was preparing to move into something else, but I just felt like the Lord wanted us to just stop and recognize what's going on and remind ourselves the truth of God's word. Amen? And you can't help but to know the tragedy that has struck the world in Paris and other places as well. Unfortunately, you know, these things are becoming more common in these end times that we live in. I don't know about you, but we have to make sure that we're not disconnecting because we don't want to hear what's happening. And we can disconnect through different ways, but you know, there's just so much, whether it's illness with someone close to us or things we see on television, whether it's a shooting in a school, whether it's a terrorist act like over in Paris, and all of these things going on, and wars and rumors of wars, and just the constant bad news, the constant news that we as people are just have heard so much in these last 10 years. We've heard it so much that if we're not careful, we'll be so desensitized to it that it will just be like, oh, okay, that's happening. And it's important that we always remember that life is precious to God. It is so precious. And when these things happen, God mourns with us. That it is never his will, it is never his hand, and it is never his way. And as I was reading something in the news, and actually it was just 6 months ago that Paris had another terrorist attack brought on due to a comic and things like that, that they were insultive to Islam. And that was in the news. But the person, one of the people who were involved in that, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he came out with something and made a headline in the news, and it said, please don't pray for Paris, based on all of the social media that is saying pray for Paris. And really, quite honestly, people that probably haven't prayed very much, they've been moved to pray and put that on their social media, pray for Paris. And he said this, and it really sparked this message today. He said, please don't pray for Paris, because we don't need more religion. And at first, I was insulted. Like, don't tell me what to pray about or for, right? That part of you rises up on the inside. But then, as I thought about his perspective, he's an atheist, as I continued to learn more about him, I thought about his perspective, and really, he's right. We don't need more religion. That's the problem. We don't need more of that. What we need, and the only answer for the world we live in, for the lives we live, the world we live in, there is only one answer, and it is not religion. It is a relationship with a living God who performs miracles. Amen? And as I thought about that guy, and again, at first I was angry, like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then I thought, you know, actually, he kind of does. Because when he sees pray for Paris, he sees religion. He sees more of dead and dull rules and self-righteousness and hypocritical things. That's what he sees. That's what many people see when you hear about God and pray and things like that. And that's why it's so important that those of us who know a living God, who know Jesus, that we show and let people experience what we've experienced, which isn't more religion, it isn't more rules, it isn't more of putting in a box, it's not more of the what to wear, what not to wear, it's not more of that. It's what is really what it's all about, and that's a life-giving God who changes things. This guy obviously has never experienced real prayer, because James 5:16 tells me that real prayer, the prayer according, how many know you can pray wrong? You can pray wrong. There's people that are just laying on the floor crying, calling it prayer. There's people that say that they're thinking about me, but they're not praying for me. And thinking about me and praying for me are two totally different things. Two totally different things. There are people praying, and they're not praying according to God's word. They're not praying with the power that God has given us. They're not doing it the way Jesus himself taught the disciples to pray. And he taught us to pray through his word. And so there is a wrong way to pray. But when I say pray for Paris, I'm saying James 5:16 prayer. The effectual, that means you're doing it right. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, us girls are included. The Bible says that it makes much power available, or it availeth much. When you pray according to the word, when you pray according to what God says, when you pray in faith, the Bible says that you are making the literal power of God available and releasing it into a situation. That's prayer. And if that guy ever knew that that's what prayer was, he'd be saying, please pray for me. Please pray for Paris. Please pray for my nation. But people don't know. Praying is not just putting something on your Facebook that says, you know, hashtag pray for Paris. That doesn't mean you prayed. Amen? That doesn't mean you prayed. Prayer is going boldly before the throne of grace. It's going boldly into the presence of God. It's going not based on who I am or what I've done, but based on who he is and what he's done. That's prayer. Going boldly into the presence of God. The Bible says, and making my petition known. God wants us to go before him. But so often we don't go because we think, I'm not worthy to go. You're not. I'll just answer it for you. You're not. Without Jesus. Do we deserve to be there? No. But we get to go because it's a throne of grace. Because when God sees me, I'm in Christ now. He doesn't see just me. He sees his son. He sees me through Jesus. But that's what prayer is. Amen? That's what prayer is. And, you know, and as I read, you know, this guy, and this thing went, you know, all over the news, or, you know, whatever that's called, where everybody sees it, went all over the news. Please don't pray for Paris. We don't need more religion. And I was just like, that's right, we don't. We need more Jesus. That's what we need. We need more Jesus. We need people to quit just thinking about doing something and do it. Amen? And we need more Jesus. But, you know, this news that we've heard and what we've seen, and, you know, the thing about news today is that it is so instant. Everything is so instant. And I was talking to Marisol the other day, and I said, do you remember that there was a time, really not that long ago, where if there was something going on across the ocean, we had to wait to see it. To see the pictures, you had to wait until those pictures physically got here. Young people are like, what? What? And phones had cords. What? But you had to wait. But news is so instant now. We get it so instantaneously. And we feel, you know, and you feel like you're part of what's going on. But, you know, the thing about it is we are part of what's going on. We are what the Bible calls the remnant. We are the salt of the earth. You ever hear that? You're the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Salt preserves. We're here to be a light. We're here to release the power of God. We're here to not be about religion. We're here to be about Jesus and who he is. Amen. That's why you're here. But it can be easy with everything that happens for just, you know, I had, you know, a couple people just tell me, you know, I am just terrified. You know, they use that word. I am terrified. I don't know what to think. I'm all over the place. And now is not the time to be that. Now is the time. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like you're nobody in the big, you're a little duck in a big pond. But Jesus makes you a big duck wherever you go. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jesus makes you a big duck wherever you go. And what you do matters. And so it's important that even though these things that we're seeing are terrifying, these things that we see and that we hear, they can and do produce fear in our lives. That is truth. But it's what we do with that that matters. And so today I want to talk to you about how to keep yourself calm and steady. Say calm and steady.
Calm and steady.
Calm and steady, no matter what happens. How many want to be calm and steady no matter what happens? How many? It is possible. It is possible. The world is going to get more and more crazy. We've got God's word on that. That's just the truth. And when we say things like, some people are like, don't say that. You scare me when you say that. No, the word says that. But Jesus said, we don't have anything to fear. Amen? And so there's a way, and God has given us a weapon that will keep us steady. Keep us steady when all the crazy's going on. When you know, we're like a ship on the ocean, and the waves are really high right now. The winds are really blowing, but we cannot let what's happening on the outside change what we're supposed to be doing on the inside. Amen? Now's the time for us. You know, it's always been the time, but when things like this happen, it pushes us, it reminds us of the importance of real prayer. The world does need us to pray for Paris. The world does need us to pray for our nation. The world does need us to pray for the government. The world does need us to pray for those that are in power. The Bible says that's the first thing we're supposed to pray about, is those who are in charge, the kings and the rulers of the world. And so, and how many know that our rulers need a lot of prayer? How many would say they need a lot of help? Oh my goodness, you know, and sometimes we can say that a little sarcastically, but the thing about it is, man, that job, they need our prayers. They need our prayers. And so here we go. You guys ready? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Let me give you some word on how to stay calm and steady. Calm and steady. You know those posters that say keep calm and whatever? There is a way to keep calm. There is a way, and it's through His Word. We don't want to be tossed around by the troubles of the world. We want to let the anchor of the Word of God hold me still. I'm still going to move a little. How many of you have ever been boating? You live in South Florida. Surely you've been boating before, right? The rest of you guys need to get out more. You know, you need to enjoy life a little bit more. But, you know, when you're out on a boat, you throw the anchor out. You still move a little bit, but you're going to stay pretty, if you got a good anchor and it's done well, and how many know we got a good anchor and it's done well, you're going to stay where you anchor. You're going to stay there. No matter what's happening, you will stay there. And so the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. When we see things on the news and stuff happens, and again, the times are evil. The Bible tells me the days are evil. That's just, you can't say, oh, I'm going to pray this. No, the Bible tells me that's here. But the Bible also gives me many promises to keep me safe. Amen? Say it keeps me safe. God has promises for you. But the thing is when all this is going on, it attacks my soul. It attacks my emotions. How many got a little emotional? Got a little emotional. And, you know, and just honestly, everybody in here, you had to have a small twinge of fear. Like, man, that's happening. And there's just so many threats and things like that. I remember we were watching the Super Bowl a few years ago. You guys remember when this happened? And Beyonce was performing. Remember that? Right? And they had a blackout at the Super Bowl. Do you guys remember that? We were sitting at home watching the Super Bowl. I mean, to have a blackout, like all the power went out. To have a blackout at an event like that, I mean, that's huge. And, you know, when it was all over, we were both like, man, somebody got fired. Somebody got fired. You know, that's just crazy. But when that happened, like the first couple of seconds, just a fear just rose up on the inside of me like, is this a terrorist attack? Just honestly. And we began to pray. You know, and then, you know, it ended and we're just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But see, we live in that kind of world. That's just the truth. We live in that kind of world. But we cannot be led by fear. We cannot be filled with fear because fear and faith cannot cohabitate. They can't live together. And so when that, this is what happens. We know from the story of King Jehoshaphat. Say Jehoshaphat. I just love that name. You know? Maybe I'll name one of my dogs that when I get a dog. Come here, Jehoshaphat.
Here, Pat.
That's just mean. That's just mean. But I've taught you guys this story many times. I encourage you to read it, the story of King Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that he was there, and they got a report that three armies were coming. They were coming from every side. Three armies were coming to attack his people. And the Bible said, and fear came. And so you got to recognize fear comes. But it comes to on our emotional level. It comes to my mind. It comes to my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. That's where fear comes. And so fear comes, but just like King Jehoshaphat, as soon as fear came, the Bible says that he immediately dealt with that fear. And that's why it's so important that you know the word, because the Bible says we have this hope and anchor to our soul. It's the word. The word is our anchor. When the world is crazy, when your mind starts to go 100 miles a minute, anybody ever been there? And fear begins to race. That's what fear does. It races. It starts out with just a little thought, like, oh, what about this? And then it just catches. And if you don't take care of it, it will race. It will affect your physical body. It'll affect your physical body. It will affect you in ways that just from head to toe, fear can affect you. But before that train starts running, as soon as it comes, just like with King Jehoshaphat, as soon as it came, he immediately spoke the word. You know what he did? He called everybody together and he reminded them. He says, what has God done for us in the past? What is God doing for us now? And what has he promised to do for us in the future? What happened? That fear started to come because those armies are coming. Those things are coming. You know, the attacks of the enemy are coming. They're coming. How many have been attacked by the enemy? All of us. And they come. See, the Bible says in John 10:10, it says the thief comes. There's an S. He just keeps coming. But Jesus came. Jesus came. And so when that fear starts to come and you're like, man, what am I going to do? What about the money? What about this? Is that a terrorist attack? Well, you know, whatever. All right, is this going to be World War III? All those thoughts that come to us when we see the news. You got to do exactly what King Jehoshaphat did. You got to use the word of God to anchor your soul. Because that's what it's for. The Bible says we have this hope, an anchor for our soul. Our minds are not supposed to be going here and here all over the place, tossed to and fro by all the news and everything. We can hear it, and then the word brings me, it centers me, it holds me, it keeps me, say it with me, calm and steady. Oh, thank God for the word. Amen. Thank God for the word. You know, when we hear, and you know, I've been on the end of this, and I know many of us in here have, when you hear a doctor report, and immediately your mind just goes everywhere. And then you got to let that word bring you back. My God, what has he done for me? What is he doing for me? What has he promised me? Amen. Oh, my God is so good. And his word will anchor me. His word will anchor you. Let's look at some more stuff here. Aren't you glad for God's word? I'm going to read it to you out of the Message, that same scripture out of the Message. It says, we who have run for our very lives to God. How many of you have run for your very life? We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. I love this next line. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. It is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. You have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline straight to God Himself. That's what you have. When you start feeling like you're going like this, you just grab a hold. Not what He says, with both hands. You grab a hold of the Word and let that unbreakable spiritual lifeline remind you of who you are. You are a child of God. You have a God who loves you, protects you. You have a God who gave His Son for you. You are not nobody. You are somebody to who matters. Amen? Who matters. It is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. You know what that means? No matter what it looks like. Oh, isn't that good? Oh, that's so good. I have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances. I don't know about you, but there have been times, and there'll be more of those times. God, you know, people, you've heard messages. God didn't promise you a rose garden. He didn't promise that you'd never have any problem. But He did promise that in all those problems, in all those situations, you would have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. And it would go past all appearances. It would, if it looks like hell itself is breaking loose on you, it doesn't matter what it's looked like because you got a line that goes straight to the throne. And you just hold on to it with both hands and you are going to be okay. Amen. You say, well, how can you say that? I can say that because the Word says that. That's why I can say that. I can say that because God said that. I have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline that it goes past all appearances. And so if you're sitting here right now and you're saying, you don't know what I'm up against. You don't know what I'm seeing. You don't know what's happening in my family. You don't know what's happening in my life. You don't know what's happening in my body. You don't know what's happening in my bank account. I'm telling you that God Himself said that there is an anchor for your soul, and He knows what's going on. He knows every hair on your head, or lack of hair on your head. He knows. He knows every breath you take. He knows every thought you have. He knows, and He still promised you, no matter what it looks like, you have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Hold on to it with both hands. Don't let go. Because here's what happens. We let what's happening on the outside many times cause us to let go of what we know to hold on the inside. And so we got to say, hey, I don't care what it looks like. I respect what the doctor says, but I have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Amen? I respect your wisdom. I respect what you say, but I have a higher truth, and it's the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. Right. We respect wisdom that people have, but wisdom can't make God's Word not true. Amen. And so I encourage you in these days, you got to hold on with both hands. But that's why it's so important that you know the Word. So you got something to hold on to. That's right. Amen. Yeah. When you're sinking is not the time to be saying, what was that verse? What was that verse? I got something, but I don't know what it is. I got a promise, but I don't know it. No, that's not the time. You need to fill up now. Fill up now. So when crazy happens, that Word that's in you, it rises up big and it anchors you. It holds you calm and steady in the place of horrible news. It holds you calm and steady when it seems like nothing is going right. It holds you calm and steady when you feel like your world is ending. That word will hold you. That's what it does. It anchors you. It holds you. And it keeps you from going all over. And here's how you know if you need to hold on a little tighter to your unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Is if you're all over the place. If you're all over the place. If your mind is everywhere. And you're just, you know, one minute you're just, you know, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but one minute you're saying, I don't know what to do. 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 This is happening. Nothing's working. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to die. Whatever. Whatever it is. You know, you're just that fear racing and fear talks. How many realize fear talks? It talks. It's got a loud voice. And if that is the loudest thing, remember, fear comes. Comes to all of us. But that lifeline, it holds me. It reminds me. And it keeps fear. Listen to me. It keeps fear from ruling. Keeps fear from ruling in my life. Something is boss of you. Something, whatever voice is loudest, whatever voice you listen to, whatever voice moves you, that's ruling you. And so fear comes. Those fearful thoughts come. They come to all of us. But that's why we got to have that word in us that anchors me. So when that fear comes, what comes up? Is my God. Look what he has done. Look what he is doing. Look what he has promised. Amen? We got to have that. We got to Jehoshaphat. We got to make sure that we're like Jehoshaphat in that area. In Psalm 71:14, this is a good one. You just write it down. It says, but as for me, say as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. So you've got to ask yourself, what is your as for me? What's your as for me? You know, when everybody's putting in their 2 cents, like that guy saying, don't pray for Paris, everybody's putting in their 2 cents, there's a time when you've got to say, but as for me. Because if you don't say, but as for me, you're just going to follow along with whatever all the other means are doing. You're just going to follow along. You'd be like, oh, okay, that's what we're all thinking today? Okay. Right? Oh, we're all freaked out? Okay. You've got to make your declaration. What is your as for me? When all this is going on and people are talking, what are you going to say? But as for me, when people are saying, oh, don't pray for Paris. We don't need any more religion. What are you going to say? But as for me, I will always have hope and I will praise you more and more. Amen. Sounds like a good as for me, right? Yes. What did Joshua say? He said, but as for me and my house, as for me and my house, you need to declare and decide what is your as for me. But as for me, I'm not going to be moved by fear. As for me, I'm going to let the anchor of my soul hold me calm and steady. As for me, I'm going to hold on with both hands to my unbreakable spiritual lifeline that goes past all appearances. As for me, I'm going to believe the word no matter what I see. Amen? What's your as for me? Now that doesn't mean sometimes, and I remember when I was a baby Christian, whenever I felt anything that was different from what I believed. Anybody ever been there? I immediately thought I wasn't in faith. I would be trusting God to come through for me in areas regarding finances or health or opportunity. And as soon as a thought would come, a thought of fear, oh, you're not going to make it. Nobody's going to listen to you. I would, because I was a baby, I would be like, great. I really thought I was in faith this time. I really thought this was my time, that I was gonna get through it this time. And I would go all the way back, and I'd beat myself up, and I'd start all over again. And then one day I was sitting in it, and I'm embarrassed to say, but it's just the truth. I didn't get set free from this wrong thinking until I was in my first week of Bible college. I was sitting in a class, and Doug Jones was teaching, and he said, you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. And I said, what? I was like, what? He said, yeah. He goes, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions will try to take you somewhere. But your spirit man, that's what matters. And you take care of those thoughts. Doubt comes. Fear comes. It comes. But my spirit man rises up and says, I have an anchor for my soul. You're not taking me down that fear road. There is an anchor for my soul. You're not taking me down to poverty. There is an anchor for my soul. That you gotta say to that thought, you're not taking me where you want. You're not taking me back to the drawing board. You're not taking me to a land of unbelief. You're not taking me, you know, where I think I'm dying from this illness. You're not taking me there because I have an anchor for my soul. I tell you, that set me free. I was like, I am a faith giant. I was so encouraged. I remember calling home and telling my brother, why didn't you ever tell me this? Why didn't you tell me this? He said, I thought you knew. I was like, I didn't know. Listen, just because you have a thought in your head doesn't mean that it's going to dictate your life. But if you let that thought in your head have its way, take you places you don't belong, then that's where the danger comes. And that's why you have an anchor for your soul, so that those thoughts cannot race down a road that you don't belong on. So when those thoughts of fear come, when those thoughts of doubt come, when all that comes, we got to say, I got an anchor for my soul. I have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline that I'm holding on to with both hands. And that is the word. So we say, as for me, I will not be moved. Amen? You might blow me around a little bit, but you're not moving me. Amen? You might blow me around a little bit, but you are not moving me because I got an anchor for my soul. Amen? Let's keep going. This is a good word. Now, you say that the place where we get that hope, you say, how can you be so strong in that? You know what? Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. And, you know, and we could only hope. I mean, I know many of us in here, we've been through some pretty tough things. But we haven't been through that. We haven't been through what these people have been through. And we, you know, but you know that this right here, this is training ground. And so life is a training ground. If you got to get it now, you can't wait till you need it. You got to have it now. You need it now. Like I said, don't wait till you're drowning. Don't wait till the winds and the wave just got you going all over the place to be like, what? No, get it now. Amen. Get yourself firm and strong in the word where you know it. Where you know what God's plan is for your life, so you're not going around, well, this is God's will. Now, I just want to smack people that say that. Because when people say, if this is God's will, when what they're talking about is just so automatically, no doubt, no gray area, not God's will according to his word, you know what that shows me? You don't know the word. You don't know the word. I read a thing and it says, there's a comic and I forget who had it on there. They said, a girl came up to the pastor and said, well, I prayed about living with my boyfriend before we got married. And I believe God said yes. And so she says, what do you think to the pastor? And he said, I think you prayed to the wrong place. Because why? I don't need to pray about that. I don't need to pray, should I steal today? Should I steal today? No. No, because it's already in God's word. It's already there. And so that's why it's important you have God's word. So when bad things happen, you're not saying, man, is this God's will? Is this God's will? Is this God punishing me? Is this God teaching me? Is this God keeping me humble? Man, learn the word. God doesn't do that. God doesn't use the enemy's tools to teach you stuff. He has his own methods. Amen? It's called grace and mercy. Amen? It's called the power of God. It's called the love of God. And it works so much better. Amen. God's tools work better. You know, when you got the right tool on the project, how many know it works better? It works better when you got the right tool. And so that's why it's important you know God's word. Because when those enemies are coming, if you're sitting there going, I wonder if this is God's will. Man, you're going to get bowled over. You're going to be lunch. You're going to be lunch for whatever's coming for you. You need to know the word. Amen? You got to know the word. It's my responsibility to know the word. It's your responsibility to know the word. We need to know. Jesus said, I give unto you authority. He gave us authority, and we got to know what it's for. Amen? Amen. And so Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, it says this, may God, the source of hope. May God, the source of hope. How do you know what's hope? Hope is an earnest expectation. How do I have that? How do you know everything's going to be okay? How do you know that that unbreakable spiritual lifeline is going to pull you through? How do you know? Because our hope is in God and nothing else. Amen? People let you down. The world will let you down. The economy will let you down. Politicians will let you down. Your parents will let you down. Everybody's going to let you down one time or another. But God, He is the source of hope. Amen? He will never let you down. Never. It says, may God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. Then you'll overflow with hope. Oh, that's good. That's Romans chapter 15, verse number 13 out of the Good News Bible. May God, the source of hope. If you're getting tossed all over the place and feel hopeless, then you're not, you need to get with God. He is the source. And He says, may God, the source of hope, fill you. Fill you. Oh, it's a whole lot easier to be anchored when you're full. Amen. When you're full. And so I just want to encourage you. Psalm 62:5 is where that anchor for our soul. Let the word and God's presence. Psalm 62:5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. Listen, don't be looking for other things to make you feel safe. Let God do it. Amen? Don't be looking for other things to make you feel secure. Because in these days we live in, none of them can. None of them can. Let God do it. Because He says, find rest, O my soul. In God alone, my hope comes from Him. God alone. We the time has always been, but it's easy when things are going well to get your rest from other things. Isn't it? You know, it's funny because a lot of times when people really need God, they're in church, they come to prayer. I mean, they're on. But as soon as that disaster passes, as soon as God does what God does, He fixes things, He heals things, He makes a way. As soon as God does what God does, they start finding rest in other things. They forget where their help came from. And suddenly other things are so much more important than God. But you know, I don't want to be that person when trouble comes. I don't want to be that person. You know, there's many times where I've thought, I don't want to be in their shoes. I don't want to be in those shoes. As for me, I'm going to find my rest in God alone. And even when things are going well, I don't want to take my foot off the gas because I know I need God. Good times, hard times, easy times, bad times, I need God all the time. As for me, I don't want to live without Him, no matter how good life is. But I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. Let's press in now. Maybe things are good for you right now. Press in now. Amen? Because life is a contact sport. And you always are going to take hits. Let's be ready for them. How many know taking a hit is a lot better when you're ready? You know, the other day I was in my kitchen. And this Scott was walking in and I was walking this way, and somehow or another I just wasn't paying attention, and he just bumped into me a little bit, not a lot, and I flew all the way up against the wall. I mean, you would have, you know, I was like, I mean, I was so not ready for it. I'm like, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, he turns and opens the fridge, and I'm like, you know, I fall to the back, and I'm like, geez, you know, like, what in the world? What in the world? But it was just a little thing, but I just was so not ready for it. And it tossed me. It tossed me all the way to the, thank God that wall was there. I would have been in the laundry room. Thank God. But see, we got to be ready, you know? Because had I been ready, I would, you know, it just been like a normal, you know, oh, a bump. Listen, don't let a bump in the road send you flying. Be ready. Amen. Now's the time to be ready. I tell you, man, if people would listen, but usually this, when they get to this point, they don't listen. There's some people I'd like to, I have reached out to them. But I hope they hear this message. Because when they needed church was here. And now they don't need it so much. And man, I want to call them and say, listen, I know the devil. You better get ready. I don't wish that on you. I don't hope that for you. But I know the enemy. And when you're not expecting, he lurks. He lurks. And he goes about seeking whom he, what's the next word?
Devour.
May devour. Man, when you're ready for attack and he comes, you'll be like, are you kidding me? I'm ready for you. Get out of here. But when you're not ready, you're going to wind up in the laundry room. Right? Nobody wants to wind up in the laundry room. Nobody. So now's the time to be ready. I encourage you, grab hold of that unbreakable spiritual lifeline with both hands. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are an anchor to our soul. Your word, it holds me strong. It holds me calm and steady in a world that is full of turbulence and chaos and destruction. That your word, it holds me. And Lord, we declare today that as for me, we will praise you more and more. Oh, we thank you, Lord. As we prepare to take communion today, what a perfect day to remember how good God is, what he has done for us, and what he has promised for us. We have Psalms 91 as our promise of protection. It says, 1,000 may fall to my right, and 10,000 to my left. But what does the rest of it say? But I will still stand. That's your as for me. As for me, I will stand. I will stand. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.